Hey, welcome to the Protectors Podcast. You know, we have to hit that record button. Mark Rainey's here today with AM Adair. But we almost started talking about one of my favorite topics, which is guns. Guns, guns, guns. So guys, like AM knows, but Mark, I think you were on an email chain. We're putting together a shooting event in the Nashville area this summer with authors. Like okay. Team up an author with like an operator, an LEO or something like that and do some shooting. So you are more than welcome to come and run and gun.
If I can, I live 3 hours away from Nashville, so it's not really that far away from me.
Yeah, it'll be fine, man. And we're going to, once the logistics are getting into it, you will know, and then everybody else will know. I just think it's so cool when authors are like, embrace firearms and shooting sports and just how fun they really are. It's not always about just, you know, violence. It's about, it's a sport, man. And you know, it just as well as I do.
Yeah. I mean, it's a perishable skill. So I never shoot enough, but I have a nice range here in Memphis. And my buddy, Josh Hood, I think, yeah. You know, Josh Hood, he and I go shoot. And I have another buddy who's down in Mississippi and he's SWAT guy. And so I go down to their range and shoot a lot. So I say a lot, but I've been so busy with work. I probably have done it 8 times in the past year or something like that. No, I gotta do more.
What is that? Those are rookie numbers. And Josh, let's talk about Josh Hood for a second. Josh throwing me under the bus the other day online saying you need a staccato. And I'm like, bro, I'm retired now. I can't afford to get a staccato right out the gate.
Yeah, they're pricey guns. They're nice though. Josh has one and I held that thing in my hands and I was like, ooh, I get it. You know, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, I've been you know, it's crazy because I think about 2 or 3 episodes ago that like, you came on, we were talking about Glocks. And, you know, I carried Glocks for a long time in my career, Glock 19s. But I ended up just trading one of my buddies, and I got a Glock 17 for competition and to teach people how to competition shoot. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's an old reliable, but the first thing I did was I swapped that to trigger and sights and everything like that. But they're decent guns when you make them decent.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too. My Glock 19 that I bought in 2004 is still like my go-to gun. I've got, you know, newer and better stuff, I guess, but that's just the most reliable thing I've ever owned in my entire life.
It's like combat Tupperware. And, you know, it's so easy to change out triggers and everything nowadays to make them like, kind of like the competent gun that you want, that you would rely on. So it's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I've always been Team SIG. And I think that's probably what we do, though, is when we start writing our stories, we kind of, you gravitate towards the things that you like best. And so SIG always inevitably ends up in my stories. But for you, Mark, Court tends to like the foreign models. So,
yeah. So he's been a Glock guy from the beginning. I actually carry a SIG now. And I always want my other characters to carry different things because I don't want to just get too, I just don't want to say the word Glock 93 times in a book. So there's all sorts of different, I'm always trying to find something that just seems like that character would carry it, even if it's like a Steyr or, you know, like a Tavor, you know, like something that's maybe a little bit avant-garde, but there's a reason for it, you know, in my brain, why that character would carry that weapon.
I say, and it makes sense, but it adds an extra little like reality, that nuance to it.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it makes Court come alive for us a little bit more to have him not be your typical shooter.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not flashy about it at all.
You know, going back and going all the way back to the origins of Court, I like it. You know, at first, like I used to always think, I'm like, oh, these guys have to be like, you know, they have to come from like SEAL Team 6, this and that and everything. And I was telling the story offline to Mark once that I met some people who worked for a certain agency who were, you know, high up in there and they weren't, you know, they were right at the tip, but they didn't come from those types of backgrounds.
Right.
And that they were recruited. And that's what I love about getting into like my personal world and understanding the realities and then seeing Court and be like, you know what, that is real. That can happen. And I've seen it happen.
Yeah. I wanted him to be not pulled out of the military for the simple reason that I just knew that was going to be done a lot. you know, this was the war on terror. I'm like, there's going to be a ton of, you know, Navy SEALs and Delta dudes and Rangers and MARSOC or whatever coming out of this and being writers, and they're going to have their characters. So what's different about mine? And, you know, I created him at the time. I was going to firearm schools like every weekend and sometimes during the week, doing a lot of training. So I just got the idea that, you know, he's trained up because his dad owned one of these schools, and then he's sort of like headhunted by the agency. And I just, you know, in 2 books ago, I wrote a book called Sierra Six, where it goes back into his past, and he, you know, is working with all these other guys on his team, and they're all SEALs or Delta or whatever. And, you know, I like that sort of cultural differences between the military guys and the non-military guy. I was like an interesting point of tension for me. It was fun to write about.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Sierra Six, because I would love to see Sierra Six as like a TV miniseries, kind of like the original, like, you know, the original stories. But then, you know, if you maybe do like the Sierra, and that's what's great about Sierra Six. It's like it's a time hop back and forth.
Yeah.
And you can really get into it. I would love to see that one as, you know, the Gray Man series.
I would. I would too. They're doing a second film. And I know what book that it is they said they were doing, but I don't think I'm allowed to say, but I haven't read the script, so I don't even know if it's, you know, how close it is to the actual book, but it's interesting to see the choices they make and why they make them. So I'll be like anybody else. When they announce that the movie is going to get, you know, shot, I'll find out on the internet just like everybody else, because the last time with Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling, the big Netflix announcement, I'd heard rumors for probably about 6 months that Ryan Gosling was, they say, circling the project, which is like this term that I'd been hearing for like 12 years. And to me, it meant that, you know, here's the name of a guy that's not going to do it. because I'd just been through that for so long. Brad Pitt back in 2011, Charlize Theron, they rewrote the entire story.
Oh my gosh.
For a female lead. And many other people, like they gave it to Tom Cruise at one point, and I feel like Bradley Cooper and Hemsworth and all these different. So every time I'd hear something, and then I heard Gosling, and I just like, okay, whatever, you know, thanks for letting me know. And then my agent called me one day, July of 2020, and said, hey, have you checked your email? And I checked it. It was just, it was a link to Deadline or Variety or something. And I clicked on it. So I learned the same time everybody else did.
I think it's perfect casting for him, because, you know, you have someone who was a child actor who grew up, and you watched him grow up, and you can kind of see his range.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you look at the other things that are going on right now too, like the Reacher series, who's spot on. I mean, you cannot pick a better character than him.
Oh, he's done so well. And he's like embraced that role. Like it's fun. I mean, I like the Tom Cruise movies. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
It's completely different, but, you know, on its own, I enjoyed it. But, this guy is doing such a good job, and he just seems like a good dude. You know, I've seen interviews with him, and I'm like, that's really cool. You could come into this a little aloof and not really caring about the original, you know, the source material, because, you know, why do you need to? You got the job, you know. Mm-hmm. But he seems, you know, he's done such a great job, and he looks like he's just got the right attitude.
I talked to him at Comic-Con, and you're absolutely right. He's read the books. He's a fan. Yeah. So that probably helped a lot, but he really is a down to earth kind of guy.
Yeah. That's amazing. It's fantastic.
That kind of jump in mediums is a big deal. Like Sierra Six, fantastic. Absolutely loved it. And here's I inadvertently got my daughter into The Gray Man because of Sierra Six. And we were driving to Louisiana, and that's a long drive. And I thought they were asleep, but I had on my audiobook for the ride. And, you know, when I realized she was listening and awake, I kind of turned it off, because it's not exactly something for an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And she yelled at me. And so we had to keep listening. And then we went to Burner, and she's very much into Zoya. So I know she's really looking forward to the Chaos Agent, because we get Zoya back, right?
Yeah, you get a lot of Zoya in the Chaos Agent, for sure.
But she hasn't even watched the movie for The Gray Man, but she has Ryan Gosling as Court Gentry as her screensaver because she has gotten so into the series.
That is fantastic. I love hearing stories like that. That's really cool. Because, you know, when I write these books, I'm not thinking of an 11-year-old.
11-year-old little girl. But she got mad at me when I told her that Burner was the last one and she was going to have to wait. So she'll be excited when this one comes out.
Yeah. Great.
You know, I like why you brought up the last one too, is because listen, I just started the Orphan X series, but now I know I have so many left to listen to.
Yeah.
Because I go through so many audiobooks and like I need more. And that's like the same thing with this. I can't wait till your book comes out. I can't wait till the audiobook comes out.
Yeah. I remember that experience of like discovering Frederick Forsyth in the late 80s. And going, oh my God, this guy's got six other books. Or I discovered Clancy when he only had two other. I discovered him at Patriot Games. So there was Red October and Red Storm Rising, and so I had two big books to read. But you know, I love it. I love discovering an author and finding, you know, this guy's good or this lady's good, and they've got a whole bunch of other stuff. So I think that's a fun aspect of it.
Well, that's what I'm telling people now. It's like, go back, start getting into the Court Gentry saga and just, you know, you have so many to catch up to.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of author friends and stuff that have an incredible series out. You know, like Brad Taylor's got like, I mean, seriously, the Andrews and Wilson guys.
Yeah.
And those guys, my gosh, they're, you know, listen, there's some favorite authors out there. Those guys are some of my favorite as well, is because you can get into their characters and their series and it doesn't seem like it's like, I don't know. It's just, you're relatable in a weird way.
Yeah. And, you know, as an author, you just have so much, you're just in awe of the volume and the quality that they put out. The fact, you know, I collaborated on one book and it was a fantastic experience. Well, the Clancy books, but I mean, one of my own books I collaborated on, it was a really good experience, but it's not always a really good experience. And these guys have done it. You know, how many books, I don't know how many books they have, but I mean, let's say a dozen, it could be more. And they have this great relationship. And I think it's really cool to see it.
Well, you know, that's what Josh Hood too is like, cause when we're talking about the shooting things, it'll be like Andrew Wilson, Josh Hood. And, you know, we're talking to everybody we can that in that kind of area that'll travel out for. And it's like, Josh is a great author. You know, he's fantastic. He's a really fantastic dude.
Yeah. I would write a book with Josh. I mean, I hope to do that someday. In fact, the book that I'm just editing now, I begged him to read it. And he's like, yeah, sure. Because I'm like, oh, it's got all these problems. And he came back and he's like, yeah, you know, I feel like this character's not reacting as emotionally as they should. And, you know, it's like he'd point out these little things and like, wow, that's so obvious. And I didn't see it because my brain was focused on another aspect of the story. You know, it's like I'm trying to write this twist in or whatever, and I'm forgetting about the fact this guy just realizes that his daughter's kidnapped or whatever. And Josh could just look at it, you know, with clean eyes and, you know, kind of a writer sensibility and go like, this is what you really need to beef up right here. So it's cool. He's very good at what he does.
I like these author collaborations. And that's when the thing about the Andrews and Wilson guys is like, how do you do this? I've interviewed them a million times. I'm like, how do you guys like just collaborate like that? And they're like, yeah, we just kind of write and back and forth. And it's like, boom.
Yeah. They never really tell you what the secret sauce is. I've had the same thing going like, how do you guys do it? It's like, oh yeah, I'll write it and I'll send it to him and he'll write it. And I'm like, come on, it's got to, everything's more complicated than that. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding and they've turned out. I'm excited about their Clancy book.
Me too.
I actually have a PDF of it and I haven't had time to read it because I've been on deadline and editing and now this book's coming out. But I'm probably going to wait for the audio book and listen to the audio.
So speaking about the new book, The Chaos Agent, what's Court up to nowadays?
Well, this book, like I think you said, it's the 13th book. So, you know, for anybody that hasn't read any of the others, you can start anywhere in the series. And this is a good one to start with. And you learn who everybody is. And in this book, you see him at the beginning trying to live off the grid and stay low. He's in Central America, in Guatemala, with the woman he loves, Zoya Zakharova, who's a former Russian SVR, foreign intelligence officer. And the two of them are laying low because a lot of people are after them. And they get targeted by some unknown force. And they realize, they just a cat and mouse game develops. And they realize there's a lot of eyes on them. And they identify this entity targeting them as the same group that is targeting all the world leaders of artificial intelligence and robotics. So as they dig in more and they do a little globe trotting, they realize that there is a revolutionary new autonomous weapon that is about to come online and go into the hands of some foes. So they're trying to, you know, unsolve this mystery, unpack the riddle, and then stop this before this game-changing technology comes to play.
Well, and I think there's a bit of a teaser out there, isn't there, about, you know, Zach being back into the mix now?
Yeah, Zach's got a big role in this book. When I wrote the Clancy books, it was always tough for me because you have a big cast of characters that you sort of have to put into each one. And I love all the characters. I mean, there's no bigger Clancy fan than me. But as a writer, you know, when you've done your seventh book, going like, all right, I've got like 14 people that need to have a specific role in this story because people want to see what they're up to. So when the Gray Man books turned into a series, I told myself, okay, I'm not going to get locked into having like this cast of characters that have to be in every book. So they'll come and go if I like the character and keep them alive. There's a few characters I've killed off and totally regretted. You know, I'm like, God, I need them back. But you know, I didn't want to get locked into putting, you know, everybody into every book. So I don't think Zach was not in Burner the last book, but he's a big part of this one.
Truth be told, Relentless is one of my favorites of yours, just because of the interactions between Court, Zoya, and Zach. It just, I love it. I'm looking forward to it.
That's terrific. Yeah, you know, as I write these books, a lot of times I'll be writing it, I'll be like, wow, I haven't put everybody together yet because everybody's doing their own thing or there's something where they're star-crossed and can't get together. And it's like, oh, it's going to be great in that last third of the book when everybody sort of like is in the same space and they can feed off each other because, you know, the dialogue is a lot of fun to write.
I like these little worlds too. You know, there's always something I like picking up. That's one thing I like about your books is like something in the beginning or something in the middle is always going to end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, like the ski vest or whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, well, how the hell is he going to survive this? Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay. I'm like, there's something new technology out there. I have no idea about.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to come up with it as I'm writing and then go back and maybe foreshadow it in some way or whatever. The ski vest was something I'd seen before. And I just thought that would be really cool. Although not to criticize myself, but I'm going to criticize myself. I mean, about 30 seconds before. So it's basically a vest that once it succumbs to a certain amount of G forces, it expands and it's a big like inflatable thing, which is cool. He gets knocked out of a train and this thing saves his life. But about a minute and a half before he's knocked out of that train, he comes shooting through the side window, crashing in and slamming on the ground, and it somehow doesn't deploy then. So it deploys when I need it to. And as I was writing the book, I was going like, wait, no, it would go off here. And I'm like, okay, the old Mark Graney would have really been hung up on that, but the new Mark Graney doesn't have time for this. It's like, you know, I'll get a couple emails, and I honestly haven't gotten any emails about it. Now anybody who emails,
now you're going to get some emails.
Yeah, yeah. Now if they do it, it's just lazy because I called myself out first.
Okay, now we got to. I hate jumping back into it, but Jack Reacher. You know, you like Tom. I like Tom Cruise. Good, solid character. But there's a scene in the new Jack Reacher series where he comes up to a car and he just kicks the front end of it and knocks the airbag. Mm-hmm. The airbag deploys, and you're like, I can't really see Tom Cruise just kicking the front of a car. And Alan Richardson, you're like, holy crap, that dude just.
Yeah. He sells it.
But you see, that's the other thing about Ryan Gosling too, is he sells Court Gentry. Mm-hmm. He could be an everyman. He could be a Gray Man. He could fit in. I mean, you watch the movie Drive and you're like, huh. And was that the Place Behind the Pines where he's like almost like a meth head, motorcycle, mm-hmm. carny guy,
yeah.
The tattoos everywhere. It's like, he can be the Gray Man. Well, he is a Gray Man, but.
I was just shocked by how well, how much he understood the character. And I really don't know where that came from. I mean, I talked to the Russo brothers about the character, but I never talked to him about it. So I don't know if that was passed on to him. I don't think he could have possibly just gotten it from the screenplay, but just his way of just kind of being annoyed, you know, witty, but at the same time would rather be anywhere else. You know, it was just kind of this way that I've crafted the character after these years. And it was fun to see that on the screen because I'd read the script, the shooting script, you know, a year and a half before the film came out. And as an author, it's like I figured I'd seen the movie because I'd read the script. And I couldn't have been further from the truth. Once all the actors put their spin on it, everything is different from how you imagined it. And it was a lot of fun to watch him in that role. I hope he does another one.
So that's a good point. It's like, you know, have you sat down and kind of watched the movie and held the script and see how it actually played out and how they adapted?
Yeah, so lots of little dialogue bits are different. And I was complimenting Steve McFeely, the one of the screenwriters, on that. And he's like, you know, a lot of that was Ryan on the day coming up with stuff. So that was interesting to know. So there's lots of differences. But mostly it's the same. I have the shooting script right here on my desk that they sent me.
That is, you know, so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And it has my name stitched on it in case it got out beforehand. It would be my fault. Like, my name's on every page. But I haven't read it since the first time I read it. But it's cool to look at the script. And obviously they made a million changes from the book. But I'm honestly okay with that because, you know, I want people to have a reason to read the book. And if it was a scene for scene, there's a few movies. Hunt for Red October is a great example. That movie is almost scene for scene as the book was written. But usually when a film is adapted, there's a lot of changes. And this one, there was a lot of changes. It wasn't as gritty, but I really thought Ryan Gosling was perfect in it. I liked Regé Jean Page as Denny Carmichael. I never would have thought to make the, I don't know if he's the deputy director of operations or whatever he was in the CIA. He's like 32 years old. That would never would have occurred to me to do that in my book. But I mean, in Hollywood, it worked great. And he was good in the role. So there were, Billy Bob Thornton plays a character who in the series is British. I mean, in the book is British. But you know, they got Billy Bob Thornton in the movie, so change the story. I'm all for that.
Hey, listen, Billy Bob's, you know, one of the best actors out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just spot on.
Yeah.
What do you got coming on in the future? You said you're writing another series or another book?
Yeah, the second book in my Josh Duffy series will come out in June. The first book was called Armored, and it came out 2 years ago. And the second one is called Sentinel. And last year I went to West Africa to do some research, like in November. I spent time with the diplomatic security officers at the U.S. Embassy in Accra, Ghana, because that's where the book takes place. And my hero in the first book, in Armored, he was a private military contractor down in Mexico. And now it's 4 years later. He works for the State Department in diplomatic security, and his wife is a political officer or a foreign service officer at the embassy there. And, you know, they're in a very stable West African nation that just happens to undergo a coup right when they're there. So, you know, it's a big action adventure, maybe a little less geopolitical than the Gray Man stuff, but also, you know, a very high octane story.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm looking forward to shooting some guns with you.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I would really like that.
So we definitely need to make it happen. And then you have the tours starting next week for Chaos?
Yeah, the February 20th, I'll be in Scottsdale, Arizona, the 21st in Houston, 22nd in Dallas. Then I come back here to Memphis, and then the following week I go to Alexandria and Raleigh, North Carolina.
And go figure, I'm not going to be here. I'll be at a firearms training course that week.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Like, damn it. I'll be in Georgia shooting.
Yeah, yeah. Where did I see you last year? Oh, was it a SHOT Show, right? Or I think the NRA? We saw each
other, NRA, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think we saw each other at SHOT Show a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that, well, I'm probably going to bring my daughter to see you in Memphis. So we'll
oh, my gosh. I really hope you do. That would be fantastic.
She'll be the little one who's shell-shocked and fangirling. So.
That's fantastic. I'd love to meet her. That'd be terrific.